This week's Sedra Parshat Tzav, plus Inyanim of Purim, brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramam HaChemesh, Luri Nishmas, Yaakov, Yitzhak, and Chaim. Sedra starts out, the Pasuk Zos Torah Ha'olah, Hi Ha'olah Al Mokda. This is the Torah of the Korban Ola, the Ola which goes up on the Mokda, on the flames, on the fire. The Midrash Tanchuma says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ko Mi Shehu Maila Atzmo, anybody who literally raises himself up, who's a Balgaiva, then Sofer Lalech Be'esh. In the end, he's going to end up in the fire. Shneimar, as it says, Hi Ha'Ola, Al Mokda, as our Pasuk says. He Ola, someone who's Ola, who raises himself up, in the end, Al Mokda, he's going to end up on the fire. So once a Maisa, in the city called Brody, there was a Bacher, who was a good Bacher, he had a lot of milas, he was good in his learning, etc. Except one problem he had was that he was a Balgaiva. And as a result, when it came time for him to be on the market for Shidduchim, every offer that came his way, he pushed it aside. He said, this girl's not good enough for me. This girl's not good enough for me. You know, she's low and not befitting for me. That, one after the other, he kept pushing them aside because he thought nobody was good enough for him. Anyway, the Rav of the city saw what was going on, and he called the Bachar in. And he said, listen, you know, you're a good guy, got a lot of milas, 100%. But one thing, Pasha, you have to work on, you're gaiva. You know, you have to be more an anav, working, you're a nevis. Can't go on like this. Anyways, the Bachar accepted it, he took it to heart. And he said, Rebbe, I'll do that. I'm going to work on my nevis. Fine. So he was makabel on himself, and a little while later, whenever it was, another shidduch offer came. So came to him another offer, this certain girl, and he looked at the person, he says, what? He says, how could you have a chutzpah to even think to recommend such a girl for me? He says, I'll give you a kal v'chomer. When I used to be, have the problem of being a balgaiva, this girl wasn't good enough for me. Now that I have, besides all my other midas which I had before, now I have an addition, I'm also an anav, and now, this girl is not good enough for me. Yes, Sefer Lakute, Basar Lakute, also says, on the word Zos Torasa Ola, he says, what's the Torah Sa'ola? Again, the Ola being a person who's Mailas, who's a Balangaiva. What's the Torah Sa'ola? Zos. This. He always has to have everything his way. Zos, this. This, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. That's the Torah Sa'ola. That's the person who's a Balangaiva. Also along these lines, the Kotzker Rebbe said, based on the Pasuk, V'ikhu Elecha, not in this week's Sedra, V'ikhu Elecha Para Aduma, Tmima. So the pasuk continues. Asher lo, asher ein bamum, asher lo ala leha'ol. So he says, somebody who's asher ein bamum, someone who thinks he has no mumim, he has no blemishes, he's perfect. Asher ein bamum. What is that a sign of? Asher lo ala leha'ol. It's a sign he doesn't have on him the ol machut shemayim, ol Torah. And that's also hinted to in another pasuk in this week's Sedra. Zos Torah Sa'asham, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu. That what brings a person to Torah Sa'asham, Ashamas, sins and veras, what brings a person to Zos Torah Sa'asham? Kodesh Kodeshim Hu. Person thinks, oh, I'm Kodesh Kodeshim, I'm perfect. That the gaiva leads to Torah Sa'asham. It says, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yotes, Vabasar Asher Yiga B'chol Tameh Lo Yechel. That the meat, that tamei touches the meat, lo yechel, can't be eaten. So again, the Kotzker Rebbe says, yes, why is it that if you have something tamei and it touches something tahor, it makes the tahor thing tamei, but not the opposite way? If you have a tahor thing touching a tamei thing, why doesn't it make the tamei thing tahor? The opposite. So he says, the reason is because something that is tamei is vadai tamei. So this is Vaday Tamei. He's going to make the Torah Tamei. However, something which is tahor is not always so tahor. Not always so tahor. And as a result, it can't make the tummy into tahor. Reminded me of mice with the Rav Shach, that's all, that somebody wanted to go out and go to places which are might have a bad hashpa on him, but he wanted to be mashpi on people. He said, no, it won't affect me, I'll be mashpi on these people. So he asked Rav Shach, would it be okay to go to these certain places? So Rav Shach said, no. He says, you know, it's dangerous, you'll be affected by these people. So he says, why, you know? So he gave him the mashal. He says, you take a spoon that's a regular kosher spoon, and you stick it in a pot of treif. He says, what happens? He says, the kosher spoon becomes treif. The kosher spoon doesn't make the treif pot kosher. See, the effect is the other way. Says the end of the parsha, where we have the inauguration of Aaron and his sons. It says, "V'yas Aaron ubanav es kol adarim asher tziva Hashem." So Aaron and his sons did all those things that Hashem had commanded. So Rashi says, "Lagid shivchan shelo hitu yamin u'smol," to tell their praise that they didn't. Simple pshat is they didn't change. They did exactly what they were told. They didn't go left, right, exactly. They did exactly what they were told. But the Chasam Sofer says, tongue in cheek, that the way people are sometimes is when you give them kavod, so they want to shrug it off as if they're not worthy, you know, and they move their shoulder, he says, left and right. It's like, you know, here, I'd like to give you this honor. He goes, ah, no, who are me? Who am I? I'm a nobody. But that's like, you know, false anivas, you know, they love it, you know, but they're just like, oh, me, no. It's like, you know, like the joke, the guy that says, his friend's giving him praises, you're this, you're that, or whatever, and then he says, oh, come on, go on, go on. So the guy stops. He says, no, why are you stopping? Go on, you know, continue. So, you know, that's false and nevis. So he says, that was not with Aaron and Vanav, right? They did, when they were told what to do, they weren't just, back and forth, left and right. No, Rashi says, lo he too, he aminu small. Didn't go back and forth. He said, yes, fine, we should do this, we'll do it, and they did it right away. No, no questions asked. Okay, let's move on. Just a few things from Purim now. It's a famous midrash that Rabbi Akiva was once giving a drasha. And as he was darshaning, he saw this talmidim were falling asleep. So he wanted to wake them up. So he mentioned the following. He said, Ma rasa Esther, that Malchal meyav esrim hasheva medinas. Why was it Esther was able to rule over 127 countries? So Tavo, Sarah, so Sarah's come, which is Tavo Esther, which is the daughter of Sarah, the descendant of Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. And Esther, who was descendant of Sarah, lived 127, she was able to, therefore, rule over 127 countries. And then the Talmidim were shocked, they woke up, or whatever. So the question is asked, what's the kind of question? It wasn't Stamma telling them something that makes absolutely no sense just to wake them up. There was probably something there, some connection between Sarah and Esther. So what was it? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, is an interesting idea. Says that Sarah Imenu lived 127 years. So here's a woman that invested 127 years of, you know, a life of Torah, mitzvahs, chesed, whatever it is, right? And out of that came what? Esther, who was able to rule over 127 countries. So therefore, if you make the simple cheshbon, 127 years, and out of that came 127 countries. So therefore, it comes out that for each year was one country. Right? 127 years, 127 countries. So for 1 year of Avoda, of Sarah, came one country for Esther. So he says, continue the cheshbon a little bit. Okay, so for 1 year came one country. So what about for a month of Avoda? Connected that was
a few cities out of the country, in the country. And what about a week? Next day, let's say a week of avoda, yeah, maybe one city. And then for an hour, etc. So you work it down. So Mistama, for a second of avoda, of Sarah, there was a few buildings on the street, let's say. Okay, that's what it boils down to. So you see from here, what this one second of avoda can build a few buildings on a street. So Mela, the Talmidim woke up and said, wow, you can accomplish so much. Look what 1 second could do. So chaval al-azman, as they say, you know, we can't waste our time. Every second's valuable. So that woke them up, and they said, hey, how can we sleep when every second is such an important thing? At the beginning of the Megillah, it describes the party of Achashverosh, right? The 7-day Mishta, etc. And describes in detail all the various things that were at the party. So one thing, though, is missing. As I mentioned, that is music. And you think, you know, it describes this 10-piece band or whatever, and the singer, and there's no mention of music. So the Maram Shif asks, why is there no mention of any music at the party? So one answer he gives is that there was music, but doesn't mention everything in the psukim. He doesn't mention it, but it really was. Then he says a nice idea. He says that could be the reason why it doesn't mention music, because it says also that the Achashverosh was careful that the party, he wanted to make everybody happy. So it says, Kirtzon ish ve'ish. So whatever made you happy, that's what he did. So Mele said there couldn't have been music. Why? Because everybody likes a different type of music. He's going to have a rock band, you know, so they got to be like classical music. Going to be, classical music, people are like rock, going to fall asleep. People like jazz and country music and folk music and pop music. You know, how are you going to please all these people? And it's Kitsoni Shvish. Mele, you couldn't bring your band. It says, Perek Beis, Pasuk Kaf Beis in the Megillah, it says, Vayivada hadavar la Mordechai. And so Bigtan and Teresh were plotting against the king, and Mordechai got word of it, and of his plot, of their plot. So the Gemara in Megillah uses this. The Gemara brings a different number of rayas. Gemara brings this as one of the rayas that the Megillah was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Right, because how did Mordechai know what was what the Bigtan and Teresh were plotting? So it must be that in Ruach HaKodesh. However, the Gemara is docha that, like it's docha all the various different proofs, and there's docha this proof. It says no, it's not a raya. Why? It says because it wasn't that he had Ruach HaKodesh. Mordechai knew because he overheard Bigtan and Teresh talking, and then even though they were talking in Tarsis in their language, this foreign language, but Mordechai, since he was of the Yoshvei Lishkas Gazis and the Sanhedrin, he knew 70 languages. Mele is one of the languages he knew. And Mele, when he heard them talking, and he overheard them, and hear what they're saying. And so, no Ruach HaKodesh, he understood their language, and what they're plotting. And so. There was once a Maisa, a fellow came to the Chedushi Arim, and he said, you know, he complained that how come the Haredi, they don't have don't learn other languages. Of course, this was in Europe. You know, want to learn the other languages in school? They only in Yiddish, everything's Yiddish, whatever. They don't. Why don't they learn the language of the country? They're not even languages, and they want to bring a proof from here to the Rebbe that Yidnar could and should and did know languages. He said, "Look at the story over here. How the whole Nase of Purim started right here, right? When Mordechai, you know, heard, as the Gemara says, he understood the languages of these guys, Bigtan Teresh, and because of that, that started the whole Nase Purim. So you see, the Yidden used to know other languages, and see how chashiv it is. So the Chedushi Arim said to him, Faker, totally the opposite, right? This is a ride. They didn't know languages. He says, why?" He said, "Think." He says, "How could Bigtan and Teresh talk, you know, openly like this about their plot to the when Mordechai standing right there?" Elamai, they fell. There was nothing to worry about. He's a Yid. So what? So it was obviously must be that the Yidden didn't know any other languages. The only Yid knew whatever, Yiddish, whatever it was they were speaking, though, in Persia, whatever. They just knew the language of the Jews, and that's it. Because, and therefore, they could speak, and they said, oh, this guy's a Yid. He's not going to understand what we're talking about, and they spoke openly. Right? Because if the Jews knew other languages, they knew Tars, they knew all these things, so then, Lehefek, they wouldn't have spoken out like that, knowing the Mordechai standing right there. And therefore, that's a Lehefek, it's a riot that the Yidden didn't know other languages. Only Mordechai, because Elishka said, yeah, okay, you have to know the 70 languages. But it's Lehefek, it's a riot the Jews there didn't know. Okay, it says in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tetzayin, Megillah, it says, Esther told the Yidden, he said, Lech Noset Kol HaYehudim Anim Tzim B'Shushan. She was about to go into Achashverosh before she was, even though she wasn't called. And so she says, okay, we have to declare a fast day. So he said, gather the Yidden together in Shushan, Vetsumu Alai, and everybody should fast for me. Val Tochlu, Val Tishtu, not to eat, not to drink, not to eat. Shloshes Yamim Laila V'Yom. 3 days, the full days, Laila V'Yom, night and day. The gam aniv and arosai aptum kain, and we and me and my maidens are also going to fast. Uvechein avo el melech asher lo chadas, and then I'll go into the melech, even though I was not called. V'kasher avanati avanati. So these 3 days, shloshes yamim laila v'yom, full 3 days. So what a day is? How long? 24 hours. A full 3 days of laila v'yom is what? 3 times 24 is 72. So she was saying that you have to fast for me 72 hours. However, Gamaniva Naratazai Atsum Kain. Kain in Gematria is what? Kafnun 70. Says, I'm not going to fast the full 72 hours. I'm only going to fast 70 hours. Why? Because I have to go into the king. So I got to, you know, look, not totally be, you know, I have to eat a little, drink a little bit before I go into the king. So everybody, you all fast 24 times 3, 72 hours. Atsum, but only Cain, only 70 hours, because I have to go into the king. And then she concludes and she says, "Ubechein avo el amalach asher chaldas." And therefore, bechein, what's bechein? That's bet chafnun is 72. And therefore, bechein avo, but with your fasting of 72 hours. And I'm so much on your fast as to as a vol of Malach Asher Lo Chadas. So that's the Bechein. They ask the question of what's the define the Kfilas and Lashon, right? It's a double Lashon. It says, I want you to fast for me, Tzumu Alai, fast for me. Al Tochluv, Al Tishtu. Don't eat, don't drink. What is fasting? Why do you have to say, I want you to fast for me, don't eat and don't drink? That's what fasting is. What if you say fast, don't eat, don't drink? So they say that the third day of the fast came out of when? On the first day of Pesach. So they were fasting on Yontif, first day of Pesach. So therefore, there was a hint, she was telling them, said to fast, and also, even though the third day is going to be come Chal on Pesach, and you're going to want to what? Eat your matzah, drink your arbakosos. Tzumu alai, al tochlu, don't eat your matzahs. Al tishtu, don't drink your arbakosos. You have to fast. Even though it's Pesach, al tichlu, meaning the matzah and the wine, can't do that either. Okay, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Megillah, says, Koreis Megillah lemafreya lo yatza. Someone who reads the Megillah l'mafreya, like backwards, out of order, is not lo yotze. So the Gra says there's a hint that a person might think, you know, what happened in the past, the mafreya, you know, in the past, that was, but it's not shaykh, not nogeya to us these days. What happened in the times of the Megillah? So he said, no. Someone who thinks that, no, that's not true. Lo yatza, meaning there was hashkacha pratis in the time of the Megillah. To this day, there's hashkacha pratis. In our own way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly watching over us. There's a Maisa, who's a Yid, who was a cripple, Olenu, and he was receiving a stipend from the government, Bituach Lumi, for his, because of his condition. And he had a big family, and he needed more money, you know, he couldn't work, etc., because of his condition. So it was hard for him to support his family and what the government was giving him. So he made an application to receive more money from the government. So he put in, filled out all the forms or whatever, and they accepted the forms, and they said, okay, next step is we're going to send somebody to check out your masa, make sure that everything you're saying here is correct, you know, your difficult financial situation. We're going to have somebody come in and check things out. He said, okay, no problem. Meantime, he went to his Rebbe, who was the Leif Simcha, and he went to his Rebbe to get a bracha. So his Rebbe gave him a nice bracha, everything should go well. And he gave him, some the Rebbe's give like shirayim or something, you know. So he gave, the Rebbe handed him an orange. He says, here, you know, some shirayim, take an orange with my blessing. Okay. So he very happily went home, and he called his family together, his wife and kids, and he told everybody to sit around the table. And he says, I was just by the Rebbe, gave me a nice bracha, and he handed me this orange. So I think we should, you know, all now sitting here, we should all eat of this orange, and Bezat Hashem, you know, we should be helped. So he peels the orange, puts it down, and opens it up into, you know, the piece, slices of orange, and he hands everybody in the family a slice of orange, and that's it, they eat. So a few days later, he gets a call from the government office and says, okay, we agreed to your application and you'll be getting the extra money. So he said, well, I'm very happy, thank you very much, but didn't you say you were going to send somebody to check out my situation or whatever? And, what happened with that? So they said, no, it's okay, we sent somebody. Says, what happened? He came to your apartment, and your door was ajar a little bit, was open a little bit, and he happened to, before he came in, he happened to peeking through, and he saw you sitting there at the table with your family around the table, and handing with one little orange and handing everybody a slice of orange. So he said, okay, he got the whole picture, and that was the end of that. So that's Hashkacha Pratis, Bizman Hazeh. Okay, one last word. It's a beautiful idea from the Tiferes Tzion. It has three questions. So one question is, we're nohag to get dressed up on Purim, right? Masquerade, whatever. So he said, why? What's the reason that we get dressed up? Question number one. Question number two is that we see in the Megillah that when the Chazal tell us that when Haman was leading Mordechai around and on the horse or whatever, and he came by Haman's house, that Haman's daughter was up on the roof or whatever, and she had a container full of sewage water, and she dumped it on the head of her father. So question is, why did she do that? Why did she dump the sewage water on the head of her father when he was taking Mordechai around? And question number three is, we say, after the Megillah, we say, Shoshanas Yaakov, right? So it's a funny lesson. What are we saying? Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzalav Esamecha. Shoshanas Yaakov, referring to the Yidden. They're happy. Why were they happy? Biro Sam Yachad, Tchelis Mordechai. Because they saw together the Tchelis of Mordechai. What's that? They're happy because of the Tchelis of Mordechai. What's the Tchelis of Mordechai? So Tiferet Tzion said beautifully. He said like this. Says that Haman, he was speaking to the king, Ahasuerus, and the king asked him, said, Haman, ma nase leish asher hamelech hafetz bikaro? You know, what can we do for somebody who the king, you know, really wants to give honor to, whatever? So Haman, you know, thought he was talking to him, the king was talking in, you know, riddles, talking about him. So Haman said, oh, yeah, well, who the king, wants to give honor to, thought he was talking about him. He said, oh, you know, should dress him in the levush malchus, and ride him around on a horse, and say, kacha yaseh le'ish, etc. Anyways, as we know, the Megillah records that the Chachashrei says, oh, very good, so fine, so do that to Mordechai, because he deserves the honor, so I want you to take him around on the horse, whatever. Okay, you had no choice, and listen to the king. Goes, gets Mordechai. So Gemara says, Megillah, he took the Mordechai to the bathhouse, you know, because he's been fasting and this the whole time, and he has to look good, so he took him to the bathhouse. So what happened at the bathhouse? Mordechai took off his rags, whatever, he went to, he got cleaned up, got showered up, and then he had to put on the Levush Malchus, because he's going to go around the Levush Malchus, right, the fight. So he gets dressed on Levush Malchus. So Haman had a great idea. He said, he says, he's wearing now these Levush Malchus, I'm going to steal his clothing. I got a great idea. I'll steal his clothing, his frock, you know, his black, long black coat, his black hat or whatever, kippah and everything. And I'll take around Mordechai, you know, on the horse, walking around, Chachayas Elish, and walking around, everybody's going to see this Haredi guy, you know, holding this, leading this horse. Everybody's going to think that it's Mordechai taking me around. Because they're seeing a Haredi guy taking around the guy in the horse. Everybody can think, obviously the guy in Levush Malchus must be Haman, and the guy taking around is Haredi guy. Must be Mordechai. So that's what he did. He took Mordechai's clothing, the long black coat, etc. Got dressed up as Mordechai, and just started taking him around. However, Mordechai, even though he was wearing his Levush Malchus, it's true, but he couldn't go around without tzitzis. Right. So what did he do? So on top of the garments he was wearing, he took his tzitzis with a tcheles and he put it on top of him. And he's wearing the tzitzis with a tcheles on top. And then Haman dressed as this Haredi guy was taking around Mordechai on the horse. Okay, and the goyim looked around and they thought that that Mordechai the Yehudi is taking around the Haman who's sitting on us. That's what most people thought. However, the Yidden knew that wasn't the case. Because they saw this, they knew what Mordechai was wearing. This is the tzitzis with the tcheles. He goes, hey, that's not Haman wearing tcheles there. It must be Mordechai. He says, Baruch Hashem. Obviously, you know, things took a, you know, to tables took a turn, and it's Haman taking Mordechai around everywhere. So now all the questions are answered, right? We said, what are they saying, the Shoshanas, Yaakov's Hallows, what are they happy about? Biroch Som Yachad, Tcheles Mordechai. The Yidden were happy. Why were the Yidden happy? Because they saw the Tcheles Mordechai. They saw that, hey, the one on the horse must be Mordechai. He's wearing Tcheles. So they were happy that now the tables were turned and Haman's taking Mordechai around. So they were Biroch Som Yachad, Tcheles Mordechai. That's where it's Salam Vesamecha. And it also explains why Haman's daughter poured the sewage water on her father. Why? Because her father was dressed up as Mordechai, so she saw this Haredi guy here, you know, leading this horse. It must be, of course, she thought, Mordechai. So Mela, she poured the water, right, thinking she's pouring the water on Mordechai, who's dressed like the long black coat. Meanwhile, happened to be her father. And it also explains why, obviously, we get dressed up on Purim, because this whole thing was because Haman dressed up as Mordechai. Mela, we also dressed up. So at Hashem, we should be zoiche that the schus of the Geula Purim and our celebrating Purim and doing the mitzvahs of Purim, that bizman hazeh, we should be zoiche to the our Geula Shleima, you hear of Yemeinu.